Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal, and you have tuned into Double Coverage, a regular weekly podcast, all things Mississippi State and Ole Miss. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. Logan, how are you, man?
I'm looking forward to both of us. So we're going to look at a baseball over the next little month and a half or so. All focus starts going to football then.
Yeah, it'll be here before you know it, man. You don't have to rush it. This is a fun time of the baseball season, though. The midway turn of the SEC race, 30 games every conference season, and 15 are in the books, and we'll talk about that more in a moment. Before we get there, folks, I want to remind you about another couple of podcasts to be on the lookout for. Check out The Memo, our news podcast at the Daily Journal, coming to you every Wednesday and Friday with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. And be sure to check out Prep Rally for all things high school sports with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. That's every Wednesday, a production of the Daily Journal. And Thursday or Friday, give or take, depending on what's going on, be sure to check out Double Coverage. Logan and I will be here with you every week. Logan, let's jump in, man. It's Thursday this week, and I'm a big fan of the Thursday through Saturday SEC baseball series. That's been one of the good things. It's been one of the good unintended consequences of the SEC network. And you've got a Thursday through Saturday series beginning tonight with MSU and Alabama. What do you see going on there?
Yeah, you're right. Very rarely Thursday, Friday, Saturday years past, because you know it's kind of just a ESPNU deal and you can go around the country and. Didn't fall all that off with the influx of the series a lot more. You know, I think State has three of them this year. And, I like the Sundays are really the only days we I enjoy being able to go over to family and stuff like that. But, looking ahead to this weekend, Mississippi State is still a good spot. They've actually lost their last two ball games. They lost the series finale in South Carolina last week. That was their fourth straight SEC series victory. They didn't play very well against Alabama. South Alabama was a team Mississippi State had already beaten twice here in Starkville earlier in the season. They went down there because the schedule said they had to go down. That was kind of the attitude that the team had right then. It was just kind of going through the motions. They understood the message to this team that.
Yeah, I've seen Alabama play live. I can confirm that they're not playing very well. So State, after getting swept by Arkansas, has gone 10-2 in its next 12 conference games. That is impressive, and it's hard to argue with any moves that Andy Cannizzaro is making right now if he wants to put Connor Pilkington at cleanup, man. It looks like whatever he's touching right now turns to gold.
I think it caught the attention of some of the players that maybe had gotten been impressed with how they approached the midweek games. I mean, last week they played Mississippi Valley State. They only won 4-0. And, Valley's a game that, they won that game 5-0, excuse me.
Well, Ole Miss reaches the midway point coming off a series loss at LSU, very close to winning that series. The Rebels right now leading the SEC in pitching, with a lot of these freshmen making huge contributions. Ole Miss with a 2.90 team ERA, and the only SEC team right now with a collective ERA of below 3. And so they're 2/10 of a point ahead of the next team. I wouldn't have thought statistically they would still be where they are after game one at LSU when they were down 15-0 and got a two-out RBI double in the ninth to finish 15-2. 15 runs on 15 hits for the Tigers in that game. And that was against James MacArthur. Not all of it, obviously. But MacArthur didn't pitch well in that game, and he's really been stable for Ole Miss. He missed a couple of starts with tenderness in his elbow, but he's come back and You know, he's thrown a lot of big innings and gotten big outs, but not in that game. Still, middle of the game now, they had LSU had scored like one run an inning. It was a manageable deficit, but because it was that kind of deficit, Mike Bianco went to some of his second-tier bullpen guys because Ole Miss was trailing. And well, I tell you, Andy Pagnozzi and Connor Green were not able to hold the fourth there, giving up hits and home runs. The Ole Miss leading the SEC in pitching right now and doing it, Logan, really without a flamethrower. You know, there's no really big dominant arm on this staff right now. There's no Drew Pomeranz-type arm on this staff, but doing it with contributions, solid pitching, solid innings from a number of guys. Ole Miss is leading ERA guy right now is freshman left-hander Ryan Rollison, who has become the third starter on the weekends. Yeah, and he has a 2.19 ERA. Some of that was compiled in the non-conference, but he's pitched well in the SEC also. He gave up two earned runs in 5 1/3 innings at LSU, a game Ole Miss eventually lost 3-2. That was after coming back to win game two in the series 4-1 on Friday. You know, Ole Miss opens that with that 15-2 loss. They collect themselves. It was a very brief but intense post-game session with his players that Mike Bianco had after that 15-2 game. They come out the next day. They get a strong outing from David Parkinson. And then Will Etheridge, another freshman, comes in. He has settled into the role of that setup guy who hands it off to Dallas Wolfolk, the closer. Etheridge comes in with runners at first and second and one out in the seventh, and he gets those guys with ground balls and not just, you know, didn't just get the outs. I mean, both of those ground balls were to the right side of the field, and they required him to cover first base two times. So a strong showing there by Will Etheridge, one of those freshmen. And then Dallas Wolfolk comes in there and gets the save and gave up a bloop hit in the process, was never really threatened, was never in any danger. However, he started off that outing in game two at LSU we're talking about now with a phenomenal catch in center field by Ryan Olenek, the sophomore. And Logan, I've seen a lot of great outfielders come through at various schools, and I've always felt like the best catch I've seen in college was Austin Bousfield several years ago, 2014, in the College World Series. I mean, it was really Willie Mays-like with his back completely to the infield and running at a dead sprint and just really making a great catch there. That's always been and still is the best catch I've seen by a college center fielder. But Olenek has quickly become 1A, you know, 1 and 1A. I mean, it was a great, it was very similar in terms of back to the infield and, you know, collided with the wall, made the catch. It was a great catch by Olenek. And like I said, now those two catches for me are like 1 and 1A. But another good performance by Wolfolk there. The game three, the series clincher, ended when Ole Miss thought they were going to get to extra innings. It was 3-2. Brian Seamster hits a line drive. Looks like it's over the head of LSU second baseman Cole Freeman. But Freeman just leaps, just jumps straight up and robs Seamster of a hit with the winning run at second base and getting ready, the tying run at second and getting ready to score. And so kind of a gut-wrenching way to lose game three. But the Rebels are 7-8. They've done some good things from 7-8 at the midway point before, and we'll see if they can continue to play a little bit better offensively as they have of late. Now, you know, I was on a radio show with Bo Bounds in Jackson last week prior to the LSU series, and we were talking about you know, Ole Miss's improvement on offense, and then they promptly go out and lose 15-2 later that evening. This team is better on offense, but you have to consider from where they came, that they were really, really struggling just a few weeks ago. So to say they are better is correct, but to say they are outstanding is inaccurate. That's not where they are, but they've gotten better in some spots. They seem to be getting more production from the top of the order. And in particular, Tate Blackman right now with some power, not necessarily hitting for high average. He only hit 250 last week. He had four hits, went 4-for-16, but all four of his hits were extra bases. He had a double in the 6-2 win at number 16 Southern Miss before the Rebels continued on to Baton Rouge. Then he had three home runs in the LSU series, two of them in the 4-1 win on game two. So Blackman hitting for a little more power right now, and we'll see if Ole Miss can continue to improve offensively. Certainly they need to do that. Big weekend against Missouri, big because the Rebels need to start winning SEC series if they're going to position themselves. It's not too late to say position themselves to host because there are a lot of games left, but they're not playing like a host team right now. If they're going to begin playing that way, they got to start winning series out of the first five series on the season. Ole Miss won just two. They opened up with a nice series win against Vanderbilt at home, but then they won also only against Alabama in the first half of the SEC season, you know, swept by State, and they won single games against Kentucky and LSU. They've got to start playing better on the weekends, minimizing mistakes. This is a team, look, if pitching is what you do, you can't win by pitching alone. It has to be pitching and defense. And there are some things Ole Miss needs to clean up defensively. They're very good in spots, very good at third base and shortstop. They're on the left side of the infield. But they need to clean up some things at first base and left field and, you know, in general, just you know, make more plays defensively to support that pitching more often. So we'll see what the Rebels get done against Missouri this weekend at Swayze Field. That'll be 6:30 on Friday, 4 o'clock on Saturday, and 1:30 on Sunday. No live TV for those games, but live streaming for each one. Shifting gears a little bit, Logan, it's the get out and pump up your fan base time of year. And Road Dogs, has it scaled back this year?
It really is. You know, they usually try to make a trip out to Dallas or Houston, usually make their way out to Texas. But, yeah, they're not making as many stops this year. This is kind of they're running down to Biloxi, Greenville, Olive Branch, and Birmingham. And then they'll have the summer extravaganza down in Jackson later on this summer. But that's really it this year. They're run through Tupelo. They usually kind of hit Tupelo every other year. And, that's a place that they're skipping on the tour this time. And I guess I'll have to go down to one of the other stops to try to get up with some of those coaches. I mean, that's always a good setting to try to talk to some of those guys, you know, outside of the normal environment that I usually talk to them in. Dan Mullett, Ben Howland, Vic Schaefer, and John Colin are all going to be out on the road speaking at those events and going to try to make it down there and talk to those guys there.
But what do you think the message is for the Road Dog Tour this year? Is there one common theme or maybe just a football message? What do they want to talk about to people?
I would imagine most of the fan base are going to be very excited and want to talk women's basketball because that's kind of the sport that had the most success for this year, kind of revive the fan base in that regard. You know, they've had some pretty nice little runs here over the last few years, obviously starting with the 2013 runner-up trip to Omaha and college baseball, you know, the number one ranking in football in 2014, and then obviously this past year, women's basketball finishing, you know, the national runner-up as well. So, every year we'll run is in several different sports, but, you know, I think the women's basketball thing is kind of captured everybody's attention right now, and I think that's kind of big stuff. Hey, Vic Schaefer might even be the keynote speaker. He might even close that road talk story thing down.
Well, Ole Miss begins Rebel Road Trip this coming week on the 23rd. And, you know, it looks like the same number of stops, but maybe a little bit little condensed. The whole series will run there from April 23 to April 28, and the Tupelo stop will be April 26th. So coming up next week, and they'll hit Memphis and Jackson later on in July with events there. And usually this trip takes a Texas or Atlanta kind of swing, and this year it's going to Dallas. So they've been to Houston, they've been to Atlanta, you know, but they'll make stops in Dallas and in Nashville on the Rebel road trip next week. And I expect, Logan, that there will be some variation of the message of patience and hang together and, you know, going to get through this NCAA investigation, which, you know, ultimately they'll get through and deal with it in some way. But, you know, you just can't answer the questions of when, what, and how right now. And that process could linger on into the fall at some point. Right now, Ole Miss is preparing its response to the second round of NCAA allegations, and it has until May 23rd to do that. After that, the NCAA has 60 days to respond to Ole Miss's response. So that date on the calendar becomes late July. And then after that, there is a date that would be set for an appearance before the NCAA Committee on Infractions. So still lots to do in the Ole Miss NCAA case, although it appears that just the sheer investigation phase is complete. But outside of that, you know, they will talk about how they are going to improve in football. It was a very disappointing year last year at 5-7. You remember Ole Miss was ranked as high as number 11 at the beginning of the season. So a little bit of a different Rebel road trip, because the last couple of years this event has come in a time of momentum with football, and right now it's about rebuilding with football and recapturing momentum. So we will see what Ross Bjork and Hugh Freeze have to say. You know, I go back, Logan, to the beginning of this Rebel road trip in 2012, the first one, and Ross and Hugh have just always, you know, they weren't hired at the same time, but they were hired in essence by a lot of the same, they were recommended by the same committee members, you know, search committees that were put together. And they've always been kind of joined at the hip and very positive and very upbeat in how they have approached these meetings and all of their public appearances. So, you know, this is going to be a different feel for these guys, and we'll see what the message is coming out of that. Shifting gears a little bit, Logan.
Here's kind of a hypothetical question for you. Say you had a sibling that was getting married, and you put in back in December that you needed this Saturday off to attend that wedding. You think our boss John Pitts and the folks at the Daily Journal would let you have that Saturday off?
You know, I expect and have seen a lot of support from John Pitts and things like that. And, you know, when I had to be out for a week right after the flood in Denham Springs back in the middle of August last year, you know, August is a busy time for us with football practice kicking in and everything. You know, it was all about go and do and take care of your family and do what you need to do. And that was a big relief to have that support, to go down to Denham Springs and gut the house that I grew up in and kind of get my mother settled and get her back up to Tupelo with me for a while. So, yeah, I would expect support at the Journal from something like that.
Well, yeah, in most cases you would think that. I mean, family comes first, especially, you know, in the region of the country that we live in. And something's kind of surprising that's happened here at Mississippi State, and I really don't understand the backlash of it, but Mississippi State shortstop Ryan Gridley, his sister's getting married this Saturday, and he had told John Cohen back in the fall that this was coming, and you know, it's doing a conflict with the game three against Alabama this weekend, and John Cohen, you know, they worked things out. Well, obviously they had a coaching change, and Kenneth Erickson comes in, and Ryan Gridley told him the same thing, you know, hey, just his family thing. And immediately Andy Canizero said, yeah, you know, you need to be with your family, you need to be there for the pictures, you need to be there for the whole experience. You know, he called it a no-brainer, a decision. And to me, that's kind of the same thing as it is. I mean, it's obviously a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him and his family, and he needs to be there. fans, when they got into this, is kind of surprising that they think that if he needs to be there for game three, it's an SEC game, and they're comparing, you know, what if Nick Fitzgerald missed an SEC game in the fall? And, even if that was the case, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I mean, like I said, some things are more important than sports, and I think, you know, I guess it comes into the term where fan is short for fanatic, and some of these people don't really have a grip on reality sometimes. And, like I said, I've just been really surprised by some of the responses that I've seen online. And, I don't think it's the majority of fans. I think it's a vocal minority. And I think that we're kind of just seeing the worst of those vocal minorities in this situation. But it has been surprising to see it follow over the last few days.
Well, family does come first, and even in the football equation there, you would think that that people would understand that a little more. However, I will say that the football-baseball comparison is not it's not a very good comparison. You play 30 SEC baseball games, and yes, you hear coaches talk about game by game and how every pitch is important, and that's true. But there are a lot of opportunities to to handle your business before and after that one game that Ryan Gridley is going to miss. Football is a little bit different. You have only 8 games. They play just once a week. But I also think, a lot of people plan a wedding date around football. You can't plan around baseball, you know. And I'm not suggesting that Ryan Gridley's sister should have done that, because what's going on in her life, I'm sure, is just as important to her parents and the people in her life as Ryan Gridley's baseball. But it's just it's crazy the response that something like that draws. And, I do think the football-baseball comparison is, it just doesn't compare when you play so many baseball games, 3 games in 3 days as compared to 1 football game. There's no scheduling around that. You know, that's hard to do. So, anyway.
And it was my understanding that, this was the only weekend it could happen. I think she's in medical school and has to start, her residency this summer immediately following as soon as she graduates.
Yeah, well, there you go.
This was the only,
Sister's got a life, too, you do what you got to do, and you make allowances for family, and you hope that people would understand that. And like you said, I think that the majority of them do. I understand that we are out of time this week on Double Coverage. Folks, we thank you for clicking in with us and being a part of this production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast, every Wednesday and Friday with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. And Prep Rally for all your high school sports needs, every Wednesday with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. And Logan and I will be back with you next week for another round of Double Coverage.